Thank you for joining me for worship today. Today is the 13th Sunday after Pentecost. Our order of service begins in the bulletin. We're going to open right now with hymn number 902, Spread Abroad, O Mighty Word.
Spread abroad, O mighty word, telling of a gracious Lord, whose all-powerful gospel call fills his heavenly banquet hall. Tell how God the Father's will made the world, upholds it still, how his only Son he gave, all from sin and death to save. Tell of our Redeemer's love, who forever does remove, by his holy sacrifice, all the guilt that on us lies. Tell of God the Spirit given, now to guide us unto him. Strong and holy, just and true, working both to will and do. Spread abroad ripe fields of grain, all throughout the world remain. But the reapers still are few, great the work they have to do. Lord of harvest, great and kind, rouse to action heart and mind. Let the gathering nations all see your light and heed your call.
We worship in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, asking him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Almighty God, merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful. I have disobeyed you and justly deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for the evil I have thought, spoken, and done. And for the sake of my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner.
Lord, have mercy on us. Christ, have mercy on us. Lord, have mercy on us.
I now ask you before God who searches the heart, do you confess your sins of thought, word, and deed? Are you sorry for your sins? Do you look to our Savior, Jesus Christ, for forgiveness? And with the Holy Spirit's help, do you want to correct your sinful life? Then declare so by saying yes. Upon this confession, I, as a called servant of the Word, announce to you God's grace and the forgiveness of sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our epistle reading for this 13th Sunday after Pentecost is from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 13. Talks here about a cloud of witnesses, a great cloud of witnesses. That's thinking about Old Testament believers whose example encourages us to look to Jesus to persevere in faith. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood, and you have forgotten that word of encouragement that addresses you as sons. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. For what son is not disciplined by his father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are illegitimate children and not true sons. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? Our fathers disciplined us for a little while, as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet, so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. Alleluia. The word is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Alleluia. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Our gospel reading is from Luke 12, verses 49 to 53, reading in which Jesus talks about how believers are tested, and even by the temptations and the troubles around us, even by maybe our own families. But that's why it's so important that we keep on looking to Jesus and his word for help and guidance. Jesus said, "I have come to bring fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. But I have a baptism to undergo, and how distressed I am until it is completed. Do you think I came to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but division. From now on, there will be five in one family divided against each other, three against two and two against three. They will be divided. Father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law." It's a sad thing when there's divisions in family, but it is the gospel that does work to bring people together. Let's continue now with our next hymn. Hymn number 640, God's Word is Our Great Heritage.
God's word is our great heritage, and shall be ours forever, to spread its light from age to age, shall be our chief endeavor. Through life it guides our way, in death it is our stay. Lord, grant while worlds endure, we keep its teachings pure. Throughout all generations.
The great grace and love of our Lord and Savior be with us always. Amen. The Word of God we want to consider this 13th Sunday after Pentecost is our Old Testament reading from Jeremiah 23, verses 23 to 29. Am I only a God nearby, declares the Lord, and not a God far away? Can anyone hide in secret places so that I cannot see him, declares the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, declares the Lord? I have heard that what the prophets say, who prophesy lies in my name. They say, I had a dream, I had a dream. How long will this continue in the hearts of these lying prophets, who prophesy the delusions of their own minds? They think they dream, the dreams they tell one another will make my people forget my name, just as their fathers forgot my name through Baal worship. Let the prophet who has a dream tell his dream, but let the one who has my word speak it faithfully. For what has straw to do with grain, declares the Lord? Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces? Let's bow our heads for prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, who art our strength and our salvation. Amen. My dear fellow possessors of God's holy, precious word, I would imagine that most of you know about the fate of Pompeii, the city on the Bay of Naples in Italy. It was destroyed back in 79 AD when Mount Vesuvius erupted and spread volcanic ash throughout over the city. When that volcano erupted, most of the inhabitants of the city decided to try to escape, to flee. But there was one man who did not. At the city gates was found the skeleton of this Roman guard. There he remained, and he remained there with both hands clenching the weapon that he was supposed to use to guard the city. There he remained, both hands clutching that weapon, while the very ground on which he was standing trembled, and fiery volcanic ash was gradually burying him. After many centuries, his body was found at that spot, at his post of duty. He was given a job and he was going to do it. He was going to be faithful, trying to do that task up until the very end. As we look at our reading for today, we want to see that our God has given all of us a job to do. A job that we, like that Roman guard, will always want to strive to do as best we can, as faithfully as we can. And now the job that God has given us to do is the job of being his prophets. When we hear that word prophet, it usually makes us think about, oh, foretelling the future. We think about all of those prophecies in the Old Testament that talked about Jesus the Savior. So we may not really be inclined to think of ourselves as being prophets. But actually, when God called us to faith in Christ, we are able to foretell the future. We're able to spread the news that believers in Christ will go to heaven. That's the best future we can foretell. So we're all prophets. And since we are, let's be like that Roman guard who faithfully stayed on the job, even though Mount Vesuvius was erupting and shaking the land and spreading volcanic ash all over. Even though we live in a sinful world that's, I guess we could say, constantly erupting around us, let's all be faithful prophets. Faithful prophets serving the Lord. And remember what a prophet really is. It's not a fortune teller. Actually, a prophet is one who shares God's word with others. In our reading, our Lord reveals to us the Lord we prophets should proclaim. And, well, he also reminds us that false prophets proclaim their own dreams, but faithful prophets proclaim God's word. God first spoke the words of our reading to Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah, who had a really difficult job, a tough job. God called him to preach the gospel to the people, of course, but his preaching, sadly, had to mainly be law and judgment spoken against the people. He had to tell the Jews that because they had turned away from God and were worshiping false gods, who really were no gods at all, of course, but because they were worshiping idols, what God was going to do is he would allow the Babylonian army to defeat them, to destroy their cities, and to take many of the Jews off into a 70-year Babylonian captivity or exile. That was the job that Jeremiah had to do, to tell the people about this discipline or judgment from God. And with that kind of a message, you can really imagine how popular he was. Not very. Most of the Jews hated him, especially since there were so many prophets who would tell Jeremiah and tell everybody else that Jeremiah knew nothing and that the destruction that Jeremiah prophesied was never going to happen at all. And sadly, what those false prophets did is they didn't even tell the people, to turn away from their idolatry. They let them continue in their soul-destructive ways. And by their false message, what they were doing is destroying the people and their eternal souls. The reaction that Jeremiah encountered because of his faithful message to God's word is the same one that pastors often receive today when they faithfully preach the law to show us our sin. God wants prophets today, pastors today, and, well, all Christians for that matter, to clearly explain what sin is and how sin separates us from God. He wants us to let people know the seriousness of sin, the eternal seriousness of sin. Our reading is God's reaction to those false prophets. He said, "Am I only a God nearby and not a God far away? Can anyone hide in secret places so that I cannot see him? Do not I fill heaven and earth?" God is here revealing two qualities of his nature. First, he's omnipresent. That means that he's present everywhere. He isn't just a God nearby, as it says here. He wasn't confined to the temple area in Jerusalem, as the idols were confined to their temples, but of course they weren't even really there either, because they were a figment of people's imaginations. But our God, he is everywhere. He's here with us as we're hearing this devotion sermon. He's on the other side of our world. He's on the moon, the sun, and the most distant star in the furthest galaxy. Since he's present everywhere, he knows everything that happens, that is happening. He's omniscient, and that's the second quality characteristic of God that's mentioned here. And that omniscience of God, that he knows everything, I'll often say that that is a scary and also comforting characteristic. It's scary because our God is one who knows all of our actions, all of our words, and all of our thoughts. Now, what God wanted is he wanted those false prophets of Jeremiah's day. He wanted them to know of God's omniscience, how God knows all things, so that they'd stop spreading the false hopes that they were giving. Unfortunately, what they did, though, is they kept on spreading lies. God wants us also to know of his omniscience because he wants us to know that he knows all of our sins of thought, word, and deed. We can't get away with a single sin. So we'll want to ask him for his forgiveness and for his help to follow God's will. But God's omniscience is also most comforting, and an extremely comforting message. He knows all the troubles that we face in this life, and because he's everywhere, well, he'll always be with us to help us face our troubles. He knows we're sinners who can do nothing, and that's why our God sent his Son into this world to live and die for us and to pay for our sins and to do everything for our salvation so that our sins could be paid for. And he knows that by our own thinking or choosing, we can't believe in Jesus Christ, and that's why he sends the Holy Spirit working through the Word to make us believers, to cause us to believe in Jesus, so we have that forgiveness of sins, so that we know of his help to fight against the sin that's in our lives, and then so that we can ultimately be able to serve as God's prophets, to spread the news about our omniscient, omnipresent God who sent his Son so that all believers in him can spend an eternity in heaven. There are many prophets in our world, but Jesus warns us many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Ever since the fall into sin, false prophets have been appearing in our world, and often those false prophets are wolves in sheep's clothing who want to lead us astray. They may not even know that they're trying to lead us astray because they may be so mixed up that they don't even know that they're the wolves in sheep's clothing that they are. Well, the Lord said to Jeremiah, "I have heard what the prophets say who prophesy lies in my name. They say, 'I had a dream, I had a dream.' How long will this continue in the hearts of these lying prophets who prophesy the delusions of their own minds?" How long will this continue? There are going to be false prophets in this world right up until the time that the Lord comes to take believers home to heaven and sends unbelievers to their eternal punishment. False prophets, they'll always preach a message that people want to hear rather than the message that we need to hear. And now what we need to hear is a faithful preaching of law and gospel, and that starts with needing to hear that our lives are full of sin and that we deserve eternal punishment and that there's nothing that we can do to change that, to save ourselves. But then, of course, we also, after the law has worked, we then also need to regularly, faithfully, often hear that gospel message, hear about how God takes care of everything for us when he sends his Son and when he sends the Holy Spirit working through the Word to work on our hearts. That God took care of everything and that he deserves all the credit for our salvation, that we can claim no credit for ourselves for our salvation. That most humbling message from God's Word is what we need to hear. False prophets, however, instead of preaching that humbling message, will tell us what we want to hear. They'll tell us that we're okay, or that we'll be okay if we keep trying to do our best. That then, if we are trying hard, then we'll be acceptable to God. That God will have to accept us. False prophets, they love to pat us on the back, and they want to give our sinful pride a good boost because, well, that's a good way to try to separate us from God. But in doing so, what they're doing ultimately is they're trying to get us to forget about our Savior and our need for that Savior, through whom alone we have access to God's grace, forgiveness, and love. God said, "Let the prophet who has a dream tell his dream, but let the one who has my word speak it faithfully. For what has straw to do with grain?" False prophets ultimately are just speaking their own dreams. They may believe it is the truth, but what God wants us who have been blessed with God's word to do is to be careful with that word. He wants us to preach the word, the whole word, and nothing but the word. Before I preach, I often will use this prayer. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. And now I pray that prayer because I want to faithfully preach to you the word of God, and I want you to be praying for me that I would faithfully preach the word. And see, now it's important for each of us, for all of us, to always be praying for all of our fellow Christians, that we're always faithfully proclaiming God's word when we have an opportunity to talk about our Savior, because it's God's word, not our dreams, not our opinions, that the Holy Spirit uses to work faith in people's heart, to call people to faith in Jesus. That's why God asks here, what has straw to do with grain? Straw, like false teaching, has no nourishing value. But grain gives nourishment for our bodies, as God's word gives real nourishment for our souls. The Lord said, "Is not my word like fire and like a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces?" God's word does do powerful things. It condemns false prophets to eternal fire. And like a hammer, what God's word will do is it will ultimately crush those false prophets. But God's word also works like a fire. It burns away all the sin that's in our lives and purifies us. And like a fire, what it can do, well, it doesn't have to be like the hammer that crushes the false prophets also. It, like a fire, can work to burn off the sin and then ultimately focus them on Christ as well. And that would be our prayer, that those false prophets would be turned into true prophets. But what that word also does is, like a hammer, it works to crush our sinful nature, our sinful pride, so that the Holy Spirit can, well, call us to faith in the first place, cause us to trust in Christ, and then continue to work in our hearts to build us up and strengthen us in our faith in our Savior Jesus. What God's Word, especially His law, does to us isn't always pleasant to go through, but that burning away of our sin and crushing of our sinful nature, sinful pride, is essential to our eternal soul's sake. If God's Word didn't do those unpleasant things, if God's law didn't knock us down like it did, our eternal souls would be lost. God's Word, as I said, it does do some amazing things to those who hear it. That's why it's important that we faithfully preach God's Word so that we see our sin and also see our Savior. That's why we want to keep on praying that we all be faithful prophets sharing God's Word faithfully. Dr. Evie Roy was a distinguished British scholar who was well known for his translations of Homer into the English language. Because of his reputation, a publisher asked him if he would translate the Gospels. And at the age of 60, this Dr. Roy, who had been a lifelong atheist, he agreed to translate the Gospels. And at that time, his son, Dr. Roy's son, commented, "It will be interesting to see what Father makes of the four Gospels. It will be even more interesting to see what the four Gospels make of him." And within a year of working on those Gospels, this atheist, well, the Holy Spirit worked on his heart and made him a believing child of God, so that he exclaimed, "The power of God's Word changed me." God's Word does some amazing things. So let's all be faithful prophets of our Lord and of His Word. Let's pray God for His help so that we are working at being faithful, serving as God's prophets, kind of like that Roman guard that I talked about, who, when Mount Vesuvius sent its ashes, its volcanic ash spewing over Pompeii, well, that guard at the gate, he said, "I'm going to faithfully stay here and do what I'm tasked to do." Well, may we be like that as we strive to be God's faithful prophets for the sake of our fellow Christians, and especially for the sake of those who don't yet know Christ. Let's all be faithful prophets. Let's all be faithful prophets so the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, can keep on working on more hearts, changing our world as you and I, by the grace of God, have already been changed, so that we know God's amazing grace and His love for us and for all. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, shall keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's confess our faith with the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let's pray. Almighty and merciful God, it is only by your gift of grace that we come into your presence and offer true and faithful service. Grant that our worship on earth may always be pleasing to you, and in the life to come, give us the fulfillment of all you promised. We pray through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. And Lord God, help us always to see the greatest needs that people have in this world. We can think of all of those on our prayer list, dealing with different aches and pains and trials and troubles and temptations. And, well, we ask you, Lord, to please, if it's your will, grant healing, grant deliverance from life's troubles and temptations. But what we ask you more and more is just to please keep on working on our hearts, build us up, strengthen us in our faith, so that we can be your faithful prophets, so that we can give the world the message that it needs more than anything else, that Christ our Savior, he came to live and to die for us, to pay for our sins, to win for us heaven, so that we can look forward to that eternal home in heaven. Please keep working on our hearts through the Word. Help us to be faithful prophets so more and more people can hear that word. And so we gather up all of the prayers and requests we have as we join in praying. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. Let's join in singing our prayer for our country.
God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with a light from above. From the mountains to the prairies to the oceans white with foam. God bless America, my home sweet home. God bless America, my home sweet home.
Again, I'd say thank you for joining me for worship today. Just a few announcements to share with you. Today is David and Hannah Wine's, well, they say their first anniversary. Remember that number of years ago when they got married, I don't remember exactly how many years ago that was, they were thinking about, or there was thought of being, there being stationed out somewhere, so down in Florida and being away for a while, so they couldn't have their original wedding date. And so they got married on this date and then had a second wedding when they were able to get everybody together a little later on. Well, Monday is Marcus Greathouse's birthday. Tuesday, Ray Bodell, and I believe he told me 87 years old. Thursday is Patriot Day, Jeanine Norder's birthday, and Doug and Jean Grinnell's anniversary, and Saturday, Dave Christmas's birthday. On Wednesday, probably Wednesday afternoon, I will be leaving to go over to Wisconsin to join my son so we can go to a Green Bay Packer, Washington Commanders football game up at Lambeau Field. But I'll be leaving Wednesday, coming back late Friday. Because of that, no Wednesday worship this week. In our congregation, don't have anything really new to report about people in our congregation. Well, Colleen did celebrate her 99th birthday, and I guess she's doing pretty well. Thank you for joining me for worship today. The Lord bless and keep you always.